in Perek Zion of Shar HaTshuva, and the Chovis Levavis is giving us here Dvorim HaMa'akfim Es HaTshuva. He has given us a detailed approach to do tshuva. And now he's telling us that there are various notions and attitudes which can destroy, which hold back a person, which restrain the person from doing tshuva in the first place. And even if a person did tshuva, the following will bankrupt its value. So you can do tshuva and lose it. So you can want to do tshuva, and there are things that will not allow you to do tshuva. And even once you do tshuva, you can actually bankrupt and corrupt and contaminate this effort of tshuva. So the first thing is that makiv tshuva, it's because we still retain various averis. See, if a person was willing to repent on some things, but there are other things that we just made a decision that this is not negotiable, I don't care. But it's against the Shulchan Aruch. It's against Yiddishkeit. I made up my mind that it's not for me. I'm not doing it. And he does the aver again and again. And to the point where it becomes gehetta, like Chazal say, that once a person does naveir once and twice, it's not like a heter. And the Gevshel Salanter says, what happens if you do it a third time? It becomes a mitzvah. The third time becomes a mitzvah. Even the smallest aveir, says the Chavis of Avis, once repeated time and again, is a terrible thing. It becomes a very big aveir. And he quotes the following statement. He says, even a small aveir, what looks like small, doesn't stay small if you repeat it again and again and again. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But even a very big aveir, a big aveir, doesn't stay big if you constantly repent again and again and again. So a small aveir, when repeated, is very big. And a big, terrible sin, but if you don't forget it and don't forgive yourself, you keep on repenting and repenting and repenting and regretting and regretting, then the biggest aver can be worn away. And the reason is simple, he says. Because when you do a little avera, what you consider little again and again, it shows the mezalzel you are treating as worthless, and you have no respect for the Rabbanu Shalom. Because you don't look at the mitzvah, you look at the mitzvah, you're supposed to look at the commander. And the commander says you shouldn't do it. Who are you to decide, this I'll do, this I'll not? Who the heck are you? Just try that in the army. Just try that in the army. I'll do everything in the army, except I won't get up 4 o'clock in the morning for drill. I have to get up 5 o'clock. I get up 4:02. No 4:02. Either you're there, or you're not there. You can't choose. In the army, there's commands. One thing you go against, you get court-martialed, you get shot. It's no joke, you're put in the brig. So chutzpah, you decide that this is not important. So you have to, you mezalzel in the mitzavet. That's number one. Number two, as we said, when you do it again and again, it gets very big. And he gives the marshal, he says, you know, you can have a very strong silk cord. Chut shel meshi. We have a silk cord, which is 1 ply, 2 plies, 10 plies. It gets very strong. Where does the silk come from? He says it comes from the enzymes, the saliva, the excretions of a worm, of a silkworm. Now those excretions in the original state are just a liquid, and the liquid hardens into a very minuscule wisp like strand, and you take this will-o'-the-wisp strand, and you take another strand, and another strand. Where does it come from? It comes from the spit, it comes from excretion, it comes from liquid, which has no power whatsoever, but slowly, slowly, you repeat it again and again and again, you can make a very strong silk cords. And on the other hand, you can have the biggest, grubbest rope made out of hemp, which is used for tying up a ship. So you know, that's where they were into knots and into ropes. The Navy, ships, because they had to tie ships to the dock, and tie ships to the anchors to the ships. So their ropes are the big inion on the sea. But you take the strongest, thickest rope, and you keep on using it, you rub it again and again, slowly gets frayed, until finally it's a shmat that's worthless, it rips into pieces. So too with Averis. You do a little Avera, looks at Will of the Wisp. Yeah, I'm not so careful in Lashon Hara, I'm not so careful where I look at, I'm not so careful. My wife doesn't care so much, she covers her hair, doesn't cover her hair, sloppy about it, it doesn't make a difference, what's the big deal? Good lady. This doesn't make a difference, that doesn't make a difference, not so makbid on this, not so makbid on Chol Yisrael, big deal Chol Yisrael, this, that, this plenty of titan. I said Shulchan Aruch, but you know, Tehirim does, yeah. So, Mazal's on little stuff, and slowly the little stuff gets bigger every day, the little will-o'-the-wisp gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and then you can't get out of it. You can't get out of it, you're surrounded. You're surrounded, and you're strangled. And the other thing you do, a very big aveira, a real big aveira, terrible aveira, kareis rachmon l'zman. But you feel so terrible about it that you keep on every day doing tshuva, and again, so it was a doctor Bernard. He was a big apikoyos, a big doctor in Poland. And somehow he got introduced to the Chayza of Lublin, I believe it was, the Chayza. And he became a Baal Tshuva. And he and his wife did Kol Averis Rebetayra. And it felt so terrible. They had tremendous charat. And every day the wife would scream at herself, at every organ of her body. My hand did this in the Averis. My mouth did this in Averis. My head did this in Averis. My body did this in Averis. And she would scream at herself every day and go through her organs, or amachi ivorim, to scream at them for that Averis. She did again and again and again, until finally she became a gevaltige tzadekas, a gevaltige baal tshuva. Because tshuva is an ongoing process, so you get every Averis, a big Averis is a big strangling cord, and it chokes us to death, but with constant tshuva, we slowly, it gets frayed and more frayed, and you can destroy the biggest rope of Avera. On the other hand, the smallest Averis, if you just mazals on them, they get stronger every day until finally you get choked and strangled in them. Rahman Muslim. He says another thing, he says, and Chutzmizeh, he says, even a small Avera, oh boy, if you do it in secret, that's even a worse thing. Because you think, well, you know, this is a little Avera, and no one knows. Who sees me? I'm sorry, pardon me, this is a Rebbein Shalom. Hashem sees everything, and Hashem remembers everything. And long after we've forgotten this Aveira, long after we've forgotten it, we have very short memories, and we forget our Aveiras very quickly. And long, 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 long after we forgot our Aveiras, Hashem remembers them, and they're written down, and they're not stam written, says the Chazal of Avos. They are mamish ksuva lefonai, said the Navi Yeshaya. Yine ksuva lefonai lo echshek yim shilamti. Your averis are written down in front of me. I see it in front of my eyes all the time. Hashem says, I will not rest until I pay you back for your sins, for your defiance. And the Navi Yirmiyahu says, chatas Yehuda ksuva beit barzel. The sins of Judah are not stam written in the front of the Baruch Shem. They're engraved with a stylus of iron. The tzipor and shomer. They're engraved like a shomer, just like the shomer worm. If the heart is stone, that worm will break into it. But once it breaks into it, the engraving is permanent, like the stones on the Chayshim Mishpat. So too said the Baruch Shem, You Jews take your Averis very lightly. I don't take them lightly. You're very chosh of a people by me. Every time you do an Averis, you're wrecking the whole Bria. You're wrecking yourself. You're wrecking the world. You're wrecking your children and your grandchildren and your family and the world today. And your mom is humiliating your grandparents in heaven. They're looking down. They have shandan charpa. And you're giving tsar to me, the shchini. You're giving tsar to the bunch that I have such a child. So we have tsars from our children. Boy, we're very humiliated. We have a lot of tsar. Why does Hashem, maybe Hashem gives us tsar that we should have a glimpse of how much tsar he has. I mean, looks at the biggest juvenile delinquents, which is us. The problem with us, we're not just juvenile delinquents, we're adult delinquents too. We're geriatric delinquents. We're delinquent when we're young, and we're delinquent when we're middle-aged. And we're geriatric delinquents. We never did tshuva. We're puttering around the nursing home with all of our virus unfixed. We long ago forgot them because we have Alzheimer's and amnesia. We're puttering around the nursing home. Sweet little old lady. Sweet little old man that looks like an innocent little cherub. Then Rishna has a long, long, long record on this person. Hashem doesn't forget. And he's not forgiving. And that was this person got Alzheimer's. They had no time to do tshuva. They didn't do tshuva. It's too late. So a person should be a bavelus. Just because people don't see the evil that lurks in our hearts and in our conscience doesn't mean it's not there. The whole day we're thinking all kinds of thoughts. Our minds are busy, 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 busy with bad stuff. All kinds of crazy things, our stream of consciousness, what goes on in our mind all day, what kind of things go on. But it's all written, Hashem has it all, it's not Tom written by Hashem, it's engraved. The eight barzel, in Eksuva Lefonai Loi Efshe, Kiyam Shilamti. And that's because we think that's hidden from Hashem, that is to our Veira. Because you think Hashem doesn't see, if you're embarrassed, you've all to get harp and abusha. And another thing is, he says, a person promises himself, he'll do tshuva at the end of his days. That's my, I'll do tshuva in the end. I'll do it in the end. Rabbi, I promise you someday, look, I'm still young, I'm in my 30s, I've got plenty of time, Rabbi. Sure you'll have it. Yeah, who told you you have plenty of time? Who guarantee, you have a guarantee? You have a life insurance policy from God? I have a life insurance policy from New York Life. They don't insure you, that's a death insurance policy. When you die, you'll have money. Your funeral, they have money. They can enjoy the money when you're gone. That's not life insurance, that's a death insurance policy. You have a life insurance policy? No one sells those except for God himself. No one sells life. Someone comes and says, he wants a life insurance policy, tell me it's a fraud, get out of my house. You're not selling me, you want to sell me a death insurance policy. You're guaranteeing that I'm going to die. And Shemaiah, if they might have had Rachmanis on me, they shouldn't die. So they'll look at the policy, hey, he can die. No Rachmanis, his family will be well taken care of. Get me out, I want a real life insurance policy. Oh, those aren't sold by New York Life and Hartford Mutual agents. Only rabbis, Rosh Yeshivas, and Chavis Levavas sell those kind of life insurance policies. Life insurance policies is learning Torah and doing tshuva, real tshuva. We're all full. Oh, I can't wait to. I want to win the lottery. Oh, don't worry, Rabbi, win the lottery. Of course I get a lot of tzedakah, Rabbi. You can be sure of that, Rabbi. Give a lot. And then I'll sit and learn. Everyone says, oh, when I retire, I'll sit and learn. Not now, but where's your sit and learn, says the Chavzavis. If you're looking forward to retiring already, and you're saying what you're going to do when you retire, you have time to look forward to doing tshuva. What this business you're going to sit and learn when you get older? Who has you to learn? God doesn't need your learning. Says David HaMelech. So the wicked person, Hashem says, who asked you to say my words of Torah? I didn't even watch a person above a rug, you can't do, you can't learn Torah until you do tshuva. Before a person sits down to learn Chavis Lubavis every day, before you sit down to learn whatever you learn, before you mavir sedra, a person has to do tshuva, because otherwise he's over in the pasuk and tell him, the Rosh Hashem says, who are you to talk about my statutes? You always mezalzel on them. You're going to learn my instructions? You don't follow my instructions. Oh, you want to look good, makes you feel good for your conscience. You learned your daf. I don't need you. I need your daf. They're daf, I daf. Who needs your daf? Who needs your sedra? Who they're daftus? That's daftus. I want one thing. I want obedience to the Hashem. Daf is your daf. It's not my daf. It's your daf. Daf is your daf. I want my daf. My yeshivasa shaladam. A person doesn't sit in front of the king like he sits in his own privacy. I want you to remember I'm here all the time. I don't want you to forget about me. First, learn the first daf, the first sif in Shulchan Aruch, that I'm around, be aware of me, you can't hide from me, I'm here, I'm watching, I'm looking, I know everything. I know everything you're doing, everything you're thinking, everything you're looking at, everything you're thinking, everything you're listening to. I know it all, says Rabbi Shalom. Then you'll learn my Torah. Do tshuva first. I don't like I don't want to even hear from your Torah. So I don't like to hear from you. It disgusts me, your Torah, actually. Because it's hypocrisy. You're a hypocrite and a fraud. Please do tshuva first. So, don't look forward. We're getting older. I mean, time to learn. We have to look, if you have so much time, everyone looks forward to Sunday. Sunday's my day off. What are we going to do on Sunday? Everyone's looking forward to cleaning out the garage, of course, and making a barbecue. But Hashem says, whoa, Sunday. Sunday is made for Chodesh Levavos. That's what Sunday is for. Sunday is to do tshuva. And Chodesh is just the beginning. You're supposed to go home after the shiur, and you're supposed to sit under your apple tree and do tshuva. That's what it's on Sundays. Sunday's supposed to go as boilers inside the bushes in the back of your house or in your basement and start thinking about the lemmas and write down, if we write down our own aveiros on our own on Sunday, then maybe the Rebbe Shalom starts erasing it from his book. Hashem says every aveiro has to be recorded. I'm recording it. If you forget it, I remember it more. The more you forget it, the more I remember it. However, if you, the sinner, remember it, okay, I don't have to remember it. Someone got to remember it. If you remember it and you do tshuva, that will be fine. That will be fine. I told you the story many times that the Heilige brothers, Rabbi Lamelech and Rabbi Zisha, they had really one or two other brothers whose names we don't. The one thing we do know is that we had one brother, was a very simple brother. And he ran an inn, a tavern. So some of their talmidim said, "Wow, the rabbis, Rabbi Zisha and Rabbi Lamelech are so great." Can you imagine what the brother might be? He's a simple fellow. He's probably going to Lamdav Tzadikim. So he went to the tavern to see what he's doing. Went to visit him. And they were absolutely unimpressed. The whole day, he's with the Goyim. They're going to buy drinks and singing and beer songs and playing around like Goyim play around. And he's right there behind the bar. And he seems to be doesn't seem to be uncomfortable and awkward. And he's there serving them. Doesn't look like a Balma Draga. Okay, night time comes, and the bar closes down finally late at night, and they're about to go to sleep, and they're a little disappointed, very disappointed, and just as they're about to go to sleep, they hear from inside the bar, they hear some sounds. So the curious, they go back into the bar. What is the sound we hear? They hear sobbing, they hear crying, and they see behind the cracks, behind the service bar, they see some light, and they go over, and they hear the sobbing louder, and they see sitting on the floor is the Melech's brother, the innkeeper, and he has a book open in front of him. And he has a candle, and he's reading the book, and he's sobbing. They couldn't control their curiosity. What's happening? What are you crying about? What happened? Looks up to them with very innocent, pure eyes and says, "Well, you know, all day my lot is that I'm a tavern keeper and I spend my time with the goyim. And the face of the goyim, you can imagine all kinds of profanities I hear, look what kind of jokes they're telling, and all kinds of things. And I can't help myself. Look, I have to serve them. I can't run away. But every time I have a bad thought, I write it down in my little book. I have a little book right under the bar and I'm writing down every time. At 11:56, I heard this and this, and then at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I heard this. I write down quickly, and then at night when the tavern closes, I take out my little book, my daily diary. I take out my candle, and I sit on the floor, and I do tshuva for all the things that I heard today and thought today and saw today, and I cry. And when I gather up enough tears puddle on my book that the tears eradicate the ink from all the writing from my daily diary, then I know it's a sin of Shemayim, that the Rebbe Shalom has forgiven me my sins, as he does every night. So that's a year that Yid keeps cheshbon every day. He doesn't wait to do tshuva when he's retired. He does tshuva every day. Ben Yonah says in Shara Tshuva also, a serious Baal Tshuva has to keep a daily diary of what we did wrong. No one would dream of having a checkbook without keeping track of your checks. That'll be disastrous. You'd bounce. No one wants to bounce. No one wants to be empty in the bank account. But spiritually, we bankrupt ourselves every day. We have no collateral. We come to Davide Rebbeinu three times a day as if we're gone to Knacker. Hashem, look at me, I'm a great guy. I learned today, I gave some tzedakah today, I took my kid to yeshiva today, I paid tuition today. So we swagger in three times a day to davening like we're Gansa Knackers, that we have big capital with the Rebbeinu Shlom, and he owes us. So we think that that our accounts are full, and then this is, Rechamonos, now we're bankrupt. We've overdrawn our accounts many times over. We used it all up already, our collateral. Very nice, Hashem. You know, my friend, you used it up a long time ago. You know, you'd be dead 15 times over if I didn't draw upon all the zachias you have. Sure, you gave tzedakah. I used it up a long time ago. Tzedakah tassel mimavas. You got plenty of reason why you chayev misa, my friend. We used up all that tzedakah. Torah is chayim, avatar, merbe chayim. We use it up also. Tefillah is also good. It's protection. We use it up also. You are bankrupt. Your tefillahs are bouncing all over the place. You got bounce checks here with overdraft. You get overdraft also. You got Hashem charges overdraft charges. Bank in New York is at $15. I think they're trying to go to $30. I get many. But, not all of the check people bounce on me. But, the kids, I would never have overdraft in the bank. But the banks have lots of overdraft. But the bank, I have this $5,000 line of credit. I wouldn't dare go through without my $3,000. Not good enough for me. I got a $5,000 line of credit. Wouldn't have counts. No way. I don't like bouncing checks. But the Rabbi Shlom, who knows, who cares, this is all nice. The Sunday morning, Rabbi Foyer's weekly entertainment over here. Cute, very cute Rabbi, very nice metaphor, very good. I'll make sure to forget that as soon as I leave this year. I'll make it very nice, it's very cute, maybe I'll say it over to somebody here. I won't, it's nice for a good sport. I don't think I'll remember it, but I didn't write it down, so it's not going to happen. But my checkbook, I'll watch out. Rabbi, the check, that's true. So, what you know, Chavos Lovitz say? The rabbi says you should always make sure to go to Bank New York and get that special $5,000 line of credit. You shouldn't bounce your checks. Make sure you have a line of credit. That's the rabbi told us today. He's good. You know, he should be a financial officer. And he should really go into, it's a shame he wasted his life in the rabbi. He should be in the finances. He's good. So, the Chavos Lovitz, we're bankrupt. We're bankrupt because we're waiting to do tshuva at some later talavai. We should think about doing tshuva at the end of our life. We don't even think about that. I mean, if we did, it's too late. Because if you wait, you say, I'll do tshuva and have some time. It is tantamount to the Gemara in Yuma that says, whoever says, I'll sin and I'll repent, and I'll sin and I'll repent, later on, ema speaking biyad lasa tshuva. In other words, the minute a person has, he's aroused to repent now, is that it's not there, you say, I'll do it later. You hear the knach. It's not enough. Pajibshat echtav oshuv, pajibshat the Gemara is that if a person says, you know what, Rabbi, I'm gonna be doing that later. But I'll do tshuva. I have a gvaldik shtickle to tell you, Rabbi. I gotta tell you about this. I'm gonna do the tshuva afterwards. Tshuva doesn't help, because it comes out that the tshuva was part of your incentive to sin. Because the only reason why he said Lashon Hara is because he figured you'd do tshuva later on, and that actually comes out the tshuva now assisted you to sin. That's Pashat. Echtav Oshav. A person says, I'll sin and repent. Repentance will not help. Because it's a deeper part. Even if when I sinned. I didn't think about tshuva. But later on, I wanted to do tshuva, and I said, I really should do tshuva for that juice of Lashon Hara I said 20 minutes ago. They're real good character assassination. Real good character assassination. I really murdered this person. Good, big time. I can get a side job for as a hitman for the mafia. I'm good at this character assassination. But you know what? I really do tshuva. It was really nasty. That was nasty. Even I admit that was really nasty. But I'm not. I'll get around to doing tshuva. You know, next week I'll do tshuva. I should learn a couple of times already. I know I should learn every day a couple of times, but I'll come to tech. A big week this week at work. I got a big week, big deadline. I'll wait till next week. If a person has this iris to do tshuva and doesn't do tshuva, that's also like echdav oshav. Now that's a very big chiddush. You hear the chiddush? Echdav oshav is not you thought about doing tshuva before the chait. Even if you thought, didn't think about it until after the sin. But you have, Hashem sent you the gift. It's a gift to have here at tshuva. To think about tshuva is a gift from Hashem, and we push it off, that also makes it impossible. You won't do tshuva. You won't get that gift again. You won't get it again. That's called echdav ashev. You won't get tshuva, the gift from Hashem. It's a big schus to do tshuva. Most of us are hearts are so, Paro lost it. Paro was such a sinner, the Rambam says, his punishment was, Hashem didn't give him the gift of tshuva. We shouldn't take a hair of tshuva lightly. When hair of tshuva comes to the heart, we should jump on it and grab it and exploit it and use it. And if you don't, it'll never come back again. And the Chazal always concludes and says, I composed a little prayer for myself, my own little personal supplication to help me do tshuva. Nafshi ha'chini tzeda l'royut al tamiti, my soul, prepare a lot of food and provisions and don't be stingy. As long as you're still alive, you still have the ability to make provisions. Because the road of eternity is a long road, and we have to prepare now for eternity, and every day we have to prepare provisions now. Don't say, I'll start preparing tomorrow. Today I'm busy filling out my portfolio. Today I'm busy working my business. Today I'm busy filling out my wallet. Today I'm busy buying myself a new house. For my eternal house, my eternal journey, I'll give the lulls, I'll worry about that. First, no, Rabbi doesn't say Derech Eretz Kadmon Torah. So Derech Eretz Kadmon Torah. No, Derech Eretz Kadmon Torah means, it means Derech Eretz, that you should get yourself the roadmap of this land, of this world, that's going to lead you to get to the world to come. That's more important than Torah. The purpose of this world is to get Derech Eretz, to have a map and a journey and an itinerary in this earth that'll get you to Lo'ilam Haba. So don't put it off till tomorrow. You don't know, you might not be around tomorrow. And remember, today won't come back. Everything you do today is shokel, v'safer, v'chazir. Every word you said, every thought is weighed and counted and written down and remembered. Don't say tomorrow, because the day of death is unknown to everyone. You might not be around tomorrow. I might not be around tomorrow. I might be around today. Do it today, because Hamavas b'chaleis yishlach chitzo abrakel, because the angel of death at any time can send his arrow or his lightning bolt. And you never know. Just driving down 306, even with your seatbelt on, coach came without your seatbelt, and you never know who is going to plow into you. And the angel of death can send. The Malach will send his arrow anytime, any place, his arrows and his lightning shafts. Don't wait till tomorrow, because you don't know where you're going to be and what's going to happen. So you have to have a lot of tzedel derech. You know, it's unbelievable. It's great metaphors from life. So when Hillary, I love Mount Everest, because life is like mountain climbing, and Yiddish gets the sure as mountain climbing. Hillary, you know, in order for him to get to the top of Mount Everest, the Sherpas, they like had, maybe it was later, I don't know if it was the first ascent, but later ascent, they needed like, it's hard to believe, they had 900 Sherpas carrying something like 100 tons of supplies. The only thing is just climb Mount Everest. You have to have base camps and camps and camps, camp one, camp two, camp three, camp four, camp five, and you got to have all these people helping you when Edmund Hillary got them on Mount Everest with Tenzing Norgay, there was part of a whole big, there was a climbing thing with them of another 20 Hevra, 20, 30, with 20 Sherpas, another 10 Caucasians, and on top of that you had these other porters that were carrying tons and tons and tons of supplies up higher and higher in the mountain. You want to get to the top of the mountain, you need loads and loads and loads of tons of supplies and tons of support and tons of help. So we want to get to the top of Olam Haba, which is what we're looking for. That's the ultimate goal. Olam Haba requires belt supplies, and not just supplies of mitzvahs. Mitzvahs have to make malachim. We need malachi asharis. Every time we do a mitzvah, we create a malach. Every time we do an aveir, we create a malach habola that tries to kill the malach atoyv. We create malachim, the malach that if there's a bolt of lightning that's going to crash into us, it's of our own making. We create that bolt of lightning. We create both the Malachi Rachamim and the Malachi Chavolah. We create both the good angels that protect us, we create the angels that are going to attack us and make tzaras for us. So he says he should say the supplication all the time, says the Chazal Zavis. Get ready. We need a lot of Seidel Aderech. We get a lot of Seidel Aderech. But like I told you last week, just a word or two from the Igeres HaKadosh, from the son of the Noyel of the Melech. So he says, our biggest problem with Zman HaZeh is that we're not busy with Seidel Aderech. There's the Heliger Rebbe Lazar, the son of the Noyel of the Melech. He says, our problem is that today, today we hold it, we want to hold on to the rope from both ends. On the one hand, we want to be vivacious. We want to be spiritual. And we come to Chag of Abashir. And we want to shtag, we want to be tzaddikim. And we're pirish ma'ilam azeh. You know, I'm going to the shir. I'm going to go to the shir. I'm going to come to davening. I even go to Bahab. Pirish ma'atim in the oilam. The shulah hava shalom. But we separate from this earth. To get more of this earth. And the reason is that we'll be good boys. I'll come to a shir. I'll daven harder. I'll do some tshuva. I'll say slichas. So Hashem, please, can I have that deal with Hashem? Please, can I have that customer? I've got to get this deal with Hashem. I really got to get this deal. Can I please get this house with Hashem? I've got to get this big deal. I've got to make a lot of money with Hashem. So the parish of Moilam Hazah to get Moilam Hazah. We're parish Moilam Hazah. We go through the motions. I'm going to fast behalf. Why not? I'll fast behalf so I should make some more money. I'll fast behalf so I'll get my business more successful. Parishim atzma me'olam v'shulahav asaylam. We separate from the world to get more of this world. And our problem is, says Rav Elazar, this is a famous shtickle. He says, you know what our biggest problem is? That we want to be rich. Listen, he says, anybody, if it's bashet to be rich, v'vadei misha, Hashem yizbarach reitza b'ashro, memeila v'ala ashiris, b'li shumamol, v'gam ha'kavad. Whatever is coming to you in that shiris, you're going to get without any foil. Don't tell me you're shtabas. Minimum is shtabas. Minimum. Yeah, you want to do the shtabas, don't they? The big hey word, ishtadlut. I'm into the big B word, the bitachon. You be talking shalem that whatever money's coming to you is going to come to you, just do a teeny, teeny bit. Don't worry about it. And any covet that's coming to you, don't worry, it's going to come to you. You don't have to run to the covet. You don't have to run to the covet. You don't have to brag about yourself all the time. You don't have to tell people how great you are, how bad those guys are. These bums don't learn anything. These bums, they talk during davening. I'm like, look at me, Rabbi. I'm a great guy. Learn. I'm a good guy. I'm a great guy. You don't have to impress me. You don't have to impress your buddies. Don't impress anybody. The money you're to determine, you'll get. The covet, you'll get. But the problem is, he says, he hears from a great gadol, that our biggest problem today is that we are consumed by the Yetzirah of money. And he's the one who says the word, it's Yerushalmi, but he says it clearly. The Gemara tells us in the end of Yuma, that the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla, in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyla Davin, at the same time they were Masakat Shmoneh Esrei, they also Davin to get rid of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. We can't handle idolatry anymore. The Gemara says Hashem sent out the Yetzirah of the Zohar like a big fiery lion, and they killed the lion. Zohar, he says that the Gadol told me, you can't kill a malach. That lion was just a personification of a spiritual being, a malach. They can't kill, you can't kill a celestial figure. A Yetzirah of the Zohar is not a physical lion. You can kill physical lions, you can't kill spiritual lions. What it means is that they, with their prayers, and Asiyata Dishmaya, they change the nature of the beast. You can't kill the beast, but you can. A malach, we have the power to. We make and break malachim all the time. Mitzvahs, we make malachim. Averis, we also make bad malachim, and we corrupt our good malachim. So they change the nature of the beast. And heviro mi uvnus arishayna, the profession of that malach, which was the Yetzirah of the Zohar, now was changed, and he became the Yetzirah for Radifa's money. The new idolatry is money. Nice and like umnas hamam and levalva of the adam redivas mam and vaisher, she's el karay v'lavod zara. It's close to avodah zara. It's the second worst thing to avodah zara is running after money. So the yetzer, the running after the Buddha, no one here has nobody. I've been here for many years and have not given one shmuz against you guys going to the Buddha ashram. No, I haven't given one Musa Shmuel is about you guys going to church on Sunday. No one here is going to Mass. I haven't given them one massive Musa Shmuel. No, not yet. I haven't even given one about going to your favorite mosque. I'm not afraid. I have no problem. I have not. Right? Now, not to go to Blockbuster, yes, this we should be talking about more often. That's, yeah. But our biggest problem is not Blockbuster. Our biggest problem is the bank. The Bank of New York is a big problem. That we're just worth money, money, money. And it's Vaval the Daitum. So a person has to give up this. He says, the kunz is like this. I'll conclude this. He says, you have to be like Yaakov Avinu. He was a Vatram of Mamonai. How do you become a Vatram? How do you become a person who is, you have some control over your desire for money? Yaakov Avinu was Bechadish, not Meiser, but Choynish. He said, Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu. This is the Gemara Ksubas that Avnun learned. He gave double Meiser. He gave a tenth and he gave a Choynish. That's a good start. Choynish is, once you do it, it's nothing to it. But once you, but it's Gevalt Gesiat and the Shmaya, that you should be a vach in your money. You shouldn't be so upset. I'm giving 20% the way to the duck already. So I must have some control of my tither. And then, and yet, Yaakov Avinu, we find, the very same Yaakov Avinu, who said, during the, when he had the dream, I'll give 20% to the Bajdon, when he comes back after 20 years, 22 years, he went back to Pachim Ketanim. Yaakov Avinu is the one who goes back over the river because he left a couple of cans behind. He left a couple of Pachim when he was running with Esav, and his life is in danger. He said, oh, I gotta go back. I left a couple of toothpicks, and a couple of paper cups, and a couple of plastic spoons. And I gotta go, I can't waste any napkins. You know, napkins are very important, you know. I left a couple of matches, paper cups, and plastic spoons. And he went over the river, Yabok, to get them. So he says, that's the kunz of life, the chokhmah gedolah. Yaakov appreciated the value of money. And even trivial things were, he wasn't gonna waste a bunch of paper cups. On the end, though, he wanted money to do the right things with it, but he's in control with it. But, so he says, if you want to do tshuva, you have to work on uprooting from our hearts the Yetzer Hara of Gel.